Hello and welcome to season 3 of the Ease with Food podcast. My name is Shannon. I'm a registered nutritionist, nutrition counselor, and eating disorder recovery coach. I really love hosting this podcast because it gives me a lovely space to help people like you heal their relationship to food. We talk about all types of relationships to food in this podcast, from binge eating and emotional eating to restrictive eating to bulimia behaviors. This podcast is definitely not a substitute for one-to-one support, but I do hope it will give you some actionable tips and give you a space to hear about eating disorder recovery, wellness, and anything else that might pop up. Please do subscribe to the podcast if you want to keep up to date, and I hope that you enjoy the episode. I am really happy to welcome back a returning guest today. We have Casey with us. Casey is one of our nutrition counselors at the clinic, and she is going to be sharing with us all things intuitive movement today. Hi, Casey. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you for having me back.
Oh, I'm glad that you are back. Your last episode went down a hit, so I'm really happy that you're here. Tell us about our last episode for anyone who didn't listen.
So last time we just briefly talked a little bit about intuitive eating and answered some sort of frequently asked questions from some of your listeners.
Yeah, that's true. Anyone who's not listened to it, I'll pop it in the show notes. It's just titled Intuitive Eating Q&A with Casey. So you'll also see it if you scroll through the episodes as well. And off the cuff of that episode, we mentioned intuitive movement and like movement in general. And since Casey's a personal trainer and a martial arts instructor and a yoga teacher, catch my breath, we wanted to have you back on so that you could talk to us more about movement. So Casey, why don't you start off by telling us what your approach to movement is?
Yes, of course. So as you said there, I'm a personal trainer, martial arts instructor and yoga teacher. And very much like a lot of people and relationships with food, my relationship to exercise has changed quite a lot. So I, like a lot of people, used to just sort of go in and out of the gym, dabbled a little bit, have done some running. When I was younger, I was lucky enough to start some martial arts training, and that just sort of naturally picked up, which is why I'm lucky enough to teach it. And then sort of very naturally, although I was training quite hard, I discovered that I quite enjoyed yoga and did my yoga teacher training, and that actually opened my eyes quite a lot to that sort of intuitive movement and listening a bit more to the body. So that's sort of where I'm at. It's very much how I feel like training. I'm lucky that I've got the tools to know how to train a few different ways, but respecting the rest day.
And you're also a nutritionist, so you have a master's in nutrition, is that right?
Yes.
So you have a master's in nutrition and you're a nutrition counselor. So you help people one-to-one with their relationship to food. How does that fit in with like your approach to movement and how, like all your other hats that you wear, how do they fit together?
Personally, I think everything fits together really nicely. I started off with that personal training background and then ventured into nutrition. I think the way we move our bodies ultimately ties in really with what we eat, and if we're always pushing ourselves for training, we get into that mindset of maybe food is fuel or you got to eat to look a certain way. So they do work really together, and a part of intuitive eating is intuitive movement, gentle movement, finding movement that works for you. So for me, they're really hand in hand.
I think it would be fun for just to give the listeners, like, I don't know, I just think it's a little bit off the cuff and a little bit nice to hear about people. But Casey, why don't you tell us your favorite ways to move your body? Would that be okay?
Yes, of course. I am a big fan of, I like lifting, lifting quite heavy. You can't see me, but I'm 5 foot one, quite small. So I love nothing more than walking through the weights area in the gym and lifting relatively heavy stuff. I do find it quite funny. But I also really love yoga. I teach yoga, and especially yin yoga, which if you've never done before, you lie in a pose for 2 to 10 minutes. So it's very much not moving and being that little bit more internal, but it really stretches out the body. So sort of two ends of the spectrum, as it were.
I love that. My favourite way to move is tennis. I'm a huge tennis fanatic, which, you know, I try to avoid talking about tennis as much as I can because I talk about it like all the time. So I try to avoid it so that people don't think, oh my God, there she is talking about tennis again. But that's my favourite. And you know, Casey, I think it's funny that you mentioned yin yoga and then you said it's not moving too much, but it's your favourite type of movement. I think that's quite funny.
Yeah, it is interesting. It's that thing of what do we classify as movement, and often reminding people, if you dance around your kitchen, it's movement. If you walk your pets, it's movement.
Yes. Tell us how, maybe, so I'm thinking of our listeners, most of them will have an eating disorder or disordered eating or like some sort of tough time with food. What would you say to them if they're thinking, oh, well, you know, I need to exercise X times a week, or, you know, I hate exercise, I never do it. How would you approach someone coming to you and saying, you know, I have a really tough time with exercise? What would be your first steps to help them with that?
My first thing would be to ask why you think you have to exercise a certain amount of times a week, or why you think you have to exercise a certain way. I've had people over the years say to me, oh, I hate running, but I have to do it. And I'll say to them, why do you have to do it? And they go, oh, actually, yes, I could do something else. Whether they think it's to burn a certain amount of calories or whatever it is, it's that discussion of why you, what is your motivation for doing it? And is there another form of movement that you really enjoy? Again, maybe it's dancing around the kitchen, maybe it's tennis, which a lot of people would go, well, that's not exercise, but actually it really is.
It really is. Running around a tennis court, oh, it will really poop you out, but it's also fun, right? Well, it's fun for me. And I wonder, like, something I hear a lot is people will say, well, if I exercised intuitively, I would never exercise at all. What do you think about that?
I think it's very interesting. I know it's like, oh, don't talk about it, but obviously we had the pandemic and a lot of people were like, oh, if I didn't exercise, I wouldn't at all. But when we were forced indoors, how many people took their like silly mental health walks and et cetera with their hour a day? Because we realized the benefits. And a part of intuitive movement is not forcing yourself to do things when you don't want to, but it's sometimes going, well, actually, I don't particularly feel like going for a walk, but I know afterwards I'm going to have so much mental clarity, or I know afterwards my mood is going to be lifted. And it's having that approach, that knowing when it's best to rest, but also going, from practice, actually, this is going to be really beneficial for me. Or actually, I know this other form of movement makes me feel really good, and so I don't want to do that, but I know this is really good for me, and it's finding what that is.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And, you know, for some people in eating disorder recovery, it might be that you don't exercise at all for, you know, however long you might be in recovery in that kind of stage, you know, 6 months or so. And that's also okay too. So I just want to make kind of room for that actually sometimes you won't be exercising. I wonder, Casey, I need to edit this part. I want to now transition to talking about like the link between disordered eating and movement and how to heal. All right, I'll just take a pause and then I'll just go for it. let me think. I don't know why I'm struggling. okay. 3, 2, 1. Casey, do you work with a lot of people who are maybe healing their relationship to food? Maybe they're disordered eating. Do you work with people who are going through that? Oh my God, that doesn't even make sense. Right. 3, 3, 2, 1. And what if someone is going through disordered eating recovery? How would you approach movement with them?
Again, very much on an individual basis, but just seeing why you are moving, and maybe, like you said, the actual best thing for you is to just cease that for a little while and just sort of see, if I don't exercise for a week, how do I feel? What is that internal narrative? Is it really linked to how I eat, or is it actually movement is a bit of a release for them, and maybe we explore ways to move that aren't as a form of punishment or a form of burning off what you're eating, that sort of mentality. If you're moving for positives, for that mental health benefit, for things like that, maybe you continue or we find some alternatives. But if it's coming from that place of real punishment and real no pain, no gain, then maybe actually backing off is that best thing to do.
And also, like, a big key part is some of, like, my clients sometimes call it catch up, which is when you are someone maybe with a quote-unquote restrictive eating disorder, you always need to replan the energy that you've burnt from exercise. That's also really key, especially when you might be weight restoring or when your body's, like, really depleted. So, you know, a big part of movement, I think, is the like, after the movement, like, what, how do you, like, replenish your energy and your like, your nutrition? Can we talk about that, Casey? Like, what does after movement, what should it look like from, like, a healthy perspective?
Of course. So after movement, again, you've got that energy replenishment. So from a nutrition standpoint, it's making sure that we do eat enough and checking in with the body. One of the reasons I really enjoy yoga and teaching yoga is at the end you have a moment where you sort of have that internal check and say, how am I feeling mentally, energetically, physically, and seeing actually what do I need. And having that check in often after exercising, it might be that you need that refuel straight away, maybe after half an hour it kicks in. So just having that check in constantly, especially if you are in that, you're exercising while recovering, maybe you need a little more than you think you do. And we've all experienced that slump where you go, I feel great after exercise, and then a little while later the energy starts to dip. So that continual check-in process.
Yeah, and also sometimes in recovery, like, a lot of the time, maybe it might not even be a check-in, maybe it's more structured and more, I know I need to have this afterwards, right? Yeah, okay, cool. I really wanted to ask you about, like, exercise when someone is, maybe there's someone who exercises a lot, maybe they're more like an athlete, maybe, like, professional, semi-professional, or maybe at uni, maybe they're, you know, in sports teams, which are often quite high level. Do you ever work with people who are more like this and who want to, maybe they need help with their relationship to exercise?
Yes, and I have in the past. My master's was sports-based, so I've worked with some uni athletes especially. And I think actually sometimes these people need even more support, because it tends to be very disordered or diet focused when you're in that sports atmosphere. And actually a lot of pro athletes, when they step out of that, need quite a lot of support to find a form of intuitive eating, and their body does bounce back a little, and they get a little bit of backlash. So yes, often working with people that are sports based, because you can still eat intuitively and move intuitively within that realm of sports. I think it just needs a little more communication back and forth, a little more of what does my body need, and maybe using nutritional information but not prescribing it.
And when you're working with these people who do a lot of exercise and a lot of sport, maybe athletes or maybe just, you know, general gym goers, what are their biggest issues that you might be helping them with, or their biggest, like, what they need support with?
I would say the sort of top three things. So first one is, especially working with a lot of female athletes, a lot of them will lose their period, and that's very common in a lot of sports where you may have to be smaller bodied as well as a lot of dancers, things like that. And that takes a while to get back and can have long-term effects, so that's a really important one. And it also kind of ties in with the second one, which is that sports is a very cultural thing, and that support network of, if you say to people that you're struggling with your relationship to food, if someone is well versed in that, you may have a great support network, but often they might not. And it's finding someone to talk to and listen to and also get support from that isn't just going to say, well, it comes with the territory of being that athlete. And then the last one I would say, as you pointed out, is although there are a lot of athletes that we work with, there are also people who train just recreationally, but that athlete mindset. I know that with the rise of things like CrossFit, there are a lot of people that are working full-time jobs but are training as if they're a 9-to-5 athlete.
Yeah.
And that can be really hard to balance because you don't have a coach, a nutrition team, rest time, recovery time in the same way that an athlete would, but you're expecting that of your body and of yourself.
Yeah, you know, oh, this is such a thing. This is like, you know, yeah, when we see athletes, like I'm talking about, you know, someone who gets up, you know, not even early, like anyone who goes to the gym, you know, 3+ times a week. We need to remember, like, professional athletes are, that's their full-time job. Like, that's what they're doing 9-to-5. And then they've got a whole team of people to recover and recuperate and help them. I wonder, Casey, on the note of like someone who loses their period, like, I wonder, why do you think, no, let me rephrase. Okay, no, 3, 2, 1. And on the note of a big thing that someone needs support with is losing their period, I wonder, this might sound a bit silly, but why do they come to a nutritionist for that rather than like their doctor? Why do you think that, Casey?
A lot of the time it is down to their nutrition that they lose their period. They are under fueling for the amount of exercise they're doing. And actually, especially if you're an athlete and if you go to a doctor, they may not take it as serious. It depends very much on your doctor, but it may be that they're not sure how to help you. It is a refueling issue, which is why they'll come to a nutritionist. And then that extra support might be why they come to some form of nutrition counseling, because it is a massive effect on your life that isn't just necessarily food based. But it's generally a refueling and that mindset issue rather than necessarily something that can be treated with medication.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's why if you are struggling with period loss, aka HA, I think it's a really good idea to have nutrition counseling from someone with like a sport nutrition background or lens. You know, I won't claim to be like, I don't know, a sports nutritionist or anything, but you know, I really enjoy working with HA, and I've always worked in like women's health. So, you know, the kind of, I guess, Casey, I would call it the sporty sport stuff. I'm not, I don't really know what's going on with that, but I can help people, you know, with the mindset and the kind of, you know, regaining their period. I wonder, what do you enjoy about helping people regain their periods and just like working with movement in general?
I would say the main thing is knowing that it's okay. A lot of people go through it, and actually losing a period is often a bit of a red flag that not only are under fueling, but a lot of other areas, you might be overstressed, mm-hmm. you might be not resting enough, and just that indicator of actually something's not right. And if it's normalized, people overlook it. So helping people and seeing them go, actually I felt that something was wrong, but it was often like, oh, it's normal, you're an athlete, and getting that support and people knowing that it's not normal,
mm-hmm.
in a way, mm-hmm. and that actually they can get help and fuel themselves, and seeing all the benefits from that, but mostly just that it's not something to be just dismissed. I think the benefits of that can't be overlooked for a lot of people.
Yeah, definitely. And I actually have a whole episode on HA, kind of starter tips to regain your period. So I'll pop that in the show notes for you to listen to. Thanks for talking to us about HA, Casey. I would love for us to go back to movement in general to like finish off this episode. I'd love to hear your starter tips to help someone cultivate a really healthy, happy relationship to food if they have a history of disordered eating and disordered exercise or disordered relationship to exercise.
Of course. So what I would recommend is, first of all, like I said, figure out why you're exercising so much. Is it because you believe you should? Is it because you're copying someone online? Is it because you're trying to, quote unquote, earn your food? So really digging into that why. Taking a moment to think about what movements you really like. And actually, a lot of the time, it's sort of going back to what we liked as kids, which is why tennis, rollerblading had a massive spike in the pandemic, as people sort of went, there are no rules, I'm going to go rollerblading, I'm going to go skateboarding. That sort of stuff can be really, really nice. So find ways that you enjoy and that will help bring joy to your life rather than that sort of negative lens we might be looking through it. And the last thing is that if structured movement and exercise as we know it isn't for you, know that that's completely fine. These things come and go. Maybe you go to a yoga class one day and love it. Maybe your friend convinces you to go to a water aerobics class and that's your passion. It's very much knowing that you don't have to do anything. It's very much what works best for your body. If you know something helps you, then you're more likely to do it. But if exercise is feeling like a chore, it's never going to serve you in the way that maybe it should.
Yeah, that's so true. And Casey, what if someone wants to work with you, and this is going to be a big mouthful, they want to heal their relationship to food, they want to fuel for their sport or their movement, and maybe there's a lot of other things, like maybe they really want to feel like embodied in their exercise, maybe they need to regain their period. So basically, you're their go-to stop for healing, food and exercise, right? You're the go-to. So how would they get in touch with you to work with you in the clinic? Tell us how they would go about that.
So within the clinic, Shannon is your go-to. I pass.
Oh, yeah.
Through Shannon's website is the best way. And I think there's a little note you can put, like, I want to work with Casey. But very much Shannon is the... She knows us all super well, so she's very great at pairing people up, or she'll just chat to you and be like, oh, I think you might work well with Casey. But yeah, if you ever want to explore a little bit of that sort of embodied practice, I'm always happy to interweave that with the nutrition counselling, which I know some people really appreciate.
Yeah, I think that's really lovely. All right, amazing. Yeah, well, like Casey said, a link to our contact form in the show notes, and you can just make a note in that you're interested in working with Casey, or, you know, if you mention anything to do with sports or anything like that, I'll pair you up with Casey anyway, and we can chat about that. So thank you for coming on the podcast again.
Thank you for having me again.
Yeah, it's been really lovely to have you. I hope everyone has enjoyed. I will meet all of you listeners again next week. And Casey, I'll see you soon.
See you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.